Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Good things are happening. I'm going to read out of Matthew 6 here, but man, I've already heard good reports. I've heard of livers being healed, man. And by the time she went to the doctor, the liver was okay. The liver was okay. The liver was okay. Hallelujah. If you had a problem with your liver, you just speak to it right now and say, in Jesus' name, liver, you're okay. Huh? Call it. Call it out. Call it out. Whoo, glory to God. Bruce and I went and prayed for it. I was trying to see if Tammy was here today. I haven't seen her yet, but she called and her dad was in a coma and didn't look good. And Bruce and I went up and prayed, and I'll just be honest, we prayed. I didn't feel nothing. I didn't, there wasn't no lightning bolts or nothing. I just did what I thought I heard my father say, and we just prayed, and the next day she texted me a letter, or no, she left me a message. She said, I just wanted to tell you that my dad just opened his eyes. He's following commands. They're getting ready to take the tube out of him. Whew, Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Callie's mom, by the time she got to the doctor and they got to checking everything out, we don't know why we told you to come, because there's nothing wrong. Woo! Yeah, they can explain it away, but we won't, will we? We'll tell the world what Jesus is doing. You need to tell Him what He's doing in your life. You need to tell everybody what He's doing in your life. You need to wait. Don't wait till you see it. You need to do it by faith. You need to speak it out. You need to tell it. Well, let me read this. I never will get on this, man. Where am I at here? Matthew. I know it's on the screen, and we do that, but man, I just like the old-fashioned way. I just like looking this book. I'll tell you what, when I wake up in the morning now, every once in a while, I've been sleeping until 5:30 or 6 now. I guess I'm getting lazy or something. But I've noticed, I didn't even pay attention to it, but every morning when I get up and I'm coming down the stairs in the dark, the first thing I grab is my Bible. And I just carry my Bible with me while I'm brushing my teeth. I just carry my Bible while I'm trying to find my cell phone, while I'm trying to, you know. Man, this word is powerful. Powerful. It's changing my life. It'll change your life. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Let's just read them all. Therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we, or what shall we wear? Or, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But instead of worrying about them, instead of fretting about it, instead of wondering about it, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worry in it anyway. Don't think about it today. Tomorrow's able to take care of itself. And you know what? Now faith is. Now is when God wants to do something big in your life. Now is when He wants to touch you. I was looking, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What's that mean? What is that? What does that mean? Because you see, if I can figure out what that means, then everything else in my life will take care of itself. If I can figure out what that means, all those pieces in my life will begin to fall together. They'll just begin to, it'll just begin to work. You know, and you ought to get in the habit of saying, what's that mean? You know, I'm tired of all the scriptures that we've quoted. I'm not tired of the scriptures. I'm just tired of quoting the scriptures and just quoting them out of memory and quoting them from something up here, because I'm finding out, man, you know, now I'm saying, and I'm reading verses like this, and I'm going, what's that mean, Holy Spirit? Show me what that means. Because you see, I used to think I knew a lot, but now I'm finding out I don't know anything. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what, there's freedom in not knowing nothing. I'm free. I don't know anything, but I know the one that knows everything. And he's not holding anything back from me. Does that get you excited over in that wing, Clay? All right, all right. Man, you bless me. Come all the way from Tulsa to sing in the choir today. Man, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, if you don't praise me, I'll make the rocks praise me. Well, no, ain't no rock going to take my turn, I'll tell you what, for sure. Oh, what's that mean? If I can figure that out. I started seeing some of the scripture different. I started reading some of it different. Because I always used to read this, and then I'd start thinking, what must I do? I was like that guy that came to Jesus and said, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? And I've been reading this thing, and I've been reading it from the point of what do I do, God? What do you want me to do? But instead I turned it around and I started reading this from the aspect of what God wants to do in my life. See, the big deal isn't what I do to get the blessings. The big deal is God's the blesser, and he's there. He's blessing us. He wants to do those big things. He wants to take care of every area of our lives. He wants to take care of all those things. He wants to, his desire. Oh, he says, Hank, I just desire to do bigger things in your life than you've ever dreamed of, that you've ever asked for. I just desire, Terry, to do bigger things in your life than you've ever imagined. I just desire to be bigger in your life than you ever thought I could be. Oh, because if you'll let me be big in your life, if you'll let me do all those wonders in your life that I want to do, if you'll let me do all the things and bless you, all the ways that I want to bless you, everybody that's unsaved that sees you will want in on the deal. Oh, you see, because when I look at it from the side of what must I do, then it's always, how much more do I need to do? And how many know when you're trying to do, you never can do enough? And when I'm trying to do that, I end up and I didn't even realize it. But when we do that, we're saying, God, I want to work harder so I can get it. And he's trying to say, you don't have to work harder. My grace already gave it to you. It's already there for you. So it's not what can I do, and can I do more, and can I, you know, you just keep doing more, you get tired. But boy, whenever you're doing it because he's been big in your life, whenever you're following his lead, you don't get tired. You see, I'm not saying we don't do anything. I'm just saying, boy, we start reading this right and realizing what God wants to do in our life. We'll want to do more. We will. We won't even want to. We will do more. We will be more. We will. Because he'll make us more. And then we can do like Paul said, it's not me, man. My life's nothing. I can't do anything, but it's all you, God. It's all you. And I know some of you pretty smart, pretty intelligent, pretty talented. But you can't get there with all that stuff. Oh, but you can tap into the one that'll get you there, and then he'll use all those things in your life. He'll use them in your life. I don't know. We always want to look at this from the work side. God says, I want you to look at this from the grace side. I want to bless you. I want to do big things in your life. In Ephesians 2, and you don't have that scripture, so don't worry about it. Ephesians, let's see. In Ephesians chapter 2, God tells us His desire. It says in chapter 2, He says He saved us, and He raised us up and seated us with Christ. He raised us up to Jesus' level so we could do more work. No. So He could show us, the Bible says in verse 7, so He could show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You got that? He raised us up on Jesus' level so He could show us the exceeding riches of His grace by being kind to us through Jesus Christ. And then He goes on in verse 10, He goes on and says that we are His workmanship, and He has created us to walk in those good works that He's done for us, that He did before the world was even formed. I don't know what that means, Holy Spirit, but I volunteer anyway. I don't have to know what it means, I volunteer. My point is, the way we read these scriptures make a difference. You going to read it from the work side all your life? Because you're never going to be good enough, Vicki. I'm sorry. Wish you were, but the only way you can be good enough, Tammy, is by taking Jesus into your heart and accepting His goodness for your badness, Kenny. I got some badness, do you, Terry? I got some badness, but I just push my badness and I put it in the blood, and the blood wipes it out, and I just receive your goodness, Jesus. All through the Bible, He tells us His desire to bless us and to draw us close and to do great things for us. But you have to see it. It depends on how you read it. See, this is a love letter to us. This is a loving, this isn't a mean dictating God that's telling you, if you don't straighten up. No, this is a loving heavenly Father telling me how much He loves me. And that makes me straighten up. So my wife says, I wish it'd hurry. I wish you'd, you know. But see, how you see it, how you read it makes all the difference in the world. The Bible gives us some examples. I just want to read you a couple of them. In Proverbs. Where's Proverbs? There you go. In Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 9 and 10. He says, honor the Lord with your possessions. What's possessions? Honor the Lord with everything you got. Does that make sense? Didn't say give Him everything. It just said make Him the Lord of everything. Honor Him with it. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I always read that as what I have to do. I have to bring my first fruits. I always just read that from a point of works, of what I have to do. And then I saw this different the other day. No, God says, Hank, would you do that so I can fill your barns? I want to fill your barns. Would you do that so I can fill your barns? And I want to make your vats overflow with new wine. Now, I'm sure that the new wine, and they were winemakers, and I'm sure that had some significant meaning when Solomon wrote that. But you know, when I read that, the thought came to me, new wine. The Holy Spirit's the new wine. He says, man, I'll make you drunk with this new wine. I'll just saturate your life with this new wine. I'll just fill you to overflowing with this new wine. And I just thought about the Holy Spirit and His goodness and Him bringing the goodness of God, the joy, the peace. And I don't know about you, but I could use my vats overflowing with that. Overflow me, God. Just fill me with that new wine. I don't know how to say that, Lord. I just saw somebody that you just feel, you just had some times this very week, and maybe you came in today feeling just drained and just feeling like you were collapsing spiritually, like you were just collapsing, and I don't know how to say it, Lord. He says, come to me, I'll give you my rest. Come to me, I'll overflow you. Come to me. You know, his rest doesn't mean that I go sit down. His rest means that I can turn over my cares, and I can turn over my problems, and I can turn over my pressures to Him, and I can trust Him, and I can believe Him, and I can just give it to Him. And then I can have the joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh yeah, whoever that was, just say, I'm sorry about worrying. I repent. I'm not worrying about that anymore. I'm giving that to you. Give that family, that family member to Him. Give that problem to Him. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm putting my trust in you. Is it okay with you when I think I hear something, if I just say it? Yeah, I'm going to anyway, but I want it to be okay with you. Because I, you know, you came here today needing something, and I don't know what you need, but God knows what you need. Make a choice. I'm not going to be discouraged anymore. Make a choice. I'm not going to be depressed anymore. Make a choice. I'm not going to worry anymore. Make a choice. I'm going to let my faith start moving me instead of my fear. Make a choice. Anyway, I always looked at that like, okay, I'm bringing my first fruits, God. I've never begrudged giving to God. Every once in a while He tells me to do something I don't think I'm really able to do, and I might buck a little bit, you know. And y'all never do that, do you? Little angels. But I find out that when I go ahead and do it, He opens that window up, man. He opens that window up. But it isn't that. It isn't me having to do that. It's God saying, do it so I can do. Do it so I can do it. Do it so I can fill your barns. Go ahead and turn loose of it so I can do something big in your life. Well, that one didn't get you excited. Let me try another one here. Let me look at Malachi. This is the one most, well, I was going to say we all hate, but just people don't give hate it. And the reason you hate it is because some preachers used it and beat you over the head with it, try to get you to give. You know, and I'll just be honest with you, I don't want you to give here unless you want to. Huh? I mean, you know, sometimes you have to do it for a while before you want to. I understand all that, but you know, I want you entering in. See, God doesn't need your money, He needs your heart. Huh? Anyway, let me read, and we read it on the screen a while ago, but it says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Who said that? Come on, get with me. Don't make me work so hard. I'm sweating up here already. Who said that? Now, did he really say that, or is that just a good idea and it makes a good sermon? And did he really say it? I believe he really said it, because I believe this book is full of words that he inspired somebody to write down. And maybe you don't believe that, but I just have found that every time I'll take one of these verses and use it, it always works. So maybe that's not the truth, but it always works. So I'm just going to keep doing it. But anyway, he says, bring all your tithes in the storehouse. He said, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, and just see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Wow. Now we can look at this from two ways. We can look at this, oh God, well, okay, I've got to pay my tithes. I don't hardly have enough to make it anyway, but I've got to pay my tithes, and I've got to do that. And if that, you know, sometimes it's that way. Just go ahead and do it anyway. But it's more than that. He's saying here, Hank, just put me first in this area of your life. Put me first place in this area of your life so that I can do something big, so that I can pour blessings on you, so that I can, you know, whenever you do that, you ought to do just what we did. You ought to just say, I'm doing what you said, and you're going to do what you said. I'm doing what you told me to do, and you're going to do what you told me you'd do. That's how simple it is. Don't get it all messed up here. Now, I'm not here to try to get you to give more. We're not going to take another offering. Huh? But I'm here. God's trying to tell us, seek me first so I can take care of everything in your life. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to learn what that means. I used to think I knew. And then I thought, well, maybe I don't know all of it. Now I realize I don't know hardly anything. There is a plus side to losing your memory when you get older. Now you have to trust God. Do you see the whole thing here? God desires to open the windows. Can you look up with the eye of your faith? And can you see that window in heaven? Can you look? Everybody look up there and see it. It's right up there. Look, come on, look up there and see it. Can you see it? Look up there and see it with the eye of your faith. Imagine what would happen if that window would just open a little bit. Do you think there's any blessing in heaven? Do you think there's any abundance? Do you think there's any goodness in heaven? What if that window just opened a little bit and some of that start falling out of that hole? Come on, follow me. Follow me. Oh, that's silly, Hank. I know. But the things of God seem silly to our natural mind. And I'm tired of letting my mind, and I'm tired of letting all the naysayers, and I'm tired of letting all the unsaved people that are saying they're saved, I'm tired of letting everybody else dictate my life. I'm going to let this Word dictate my life. And you know what? It works. It works, yeah, that's it, it works. Not enough room to put it all. I could use that. I don't know what the bank accounts do now, how much they'll insure, but wouldn't it be good? You'd have to be hunting other banks because you'd already passed the amount of deposit that they'd insure and you just had to find some other places to put your money. Oh, heck, that's natural, that's carnal. I know, but I live in a natural world. I live in a carnal world. But I'm supposed to operate the spirit in this carnal world. I'm supposed to operate the laws of the kingdom in this world. I'm supposed to bring, what did Jesus say? Let your will be done on earth like it is in heaven. I'm supposed to bring some heaven through me. And you don't think you're in heaven if you're broke, if you don't have enough, if you're struggling and fighting it every month. That doesn't feel like heaven. I don't care what you say. And you can put a religious slant on that, but I'm telling you, there's nothing religious about that. That's straight out of the pits of hell. The enemy's here to steal, kill, and destroy, and he wants to stop everything God wants to do in our life. I am. I'm going to, John. I'm going to. Not room enough to resist. I want so much joy in my life that I can't stand it. I mean, I want Him to saturate me so I can't sit in that chair that I just fall down on my knees and just worship Him. I just want. I pulled this handkerchief out, and I started blowing my nose. And I told Greg, I said, man, I'm going to use that after a while to wipe sweat. I better not blow my nose on that one. That might be a picture y'all don't want to see, huh? Oh, man. Oh, but let me say this real quick here. In verse 11, he says, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he'll not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine that fail, the bare fruits before in the field, says the Lord of hosts. He says, just try me and see if I won't bless you, and I'll rebuke the devourer for you. Listen to me. Not only will he open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive, he'll plug the holes up. See, the problem isn't that you don't have enough. The problem is you need some of the holes plugged up. And I'm going to tell you what, the biggest part of that blessing of coming from heaven, out of the windows of heaven, the biggest and most important part of that blessing is you getting wisdom and knowledge and knowing how to handle your finances. Listen to me. If you don't know how to handle $150 a week, you're not going to know how to handle $1,000 a week. And some of you know, there's been times when God's just dumped big blessings on you and you just had more, and in 3 or 4 months it was all gone and you were in worse shape than you were before you got the blessing. Right. See, God wants us to have abundance, but he doesn't want that abundance to have us. See, I'm telling you something that you have to learn. I'm telling you a process that only the Holy Spirit can take you through. I'm telling you, a work that only God can do in your life. And if you don't have a whole lot now, you ought to say, praise God, praise God, praise God. Learn it now, because when you get a whole lot, it's a whole lot harder to learn it. Because it has you. And you'll do tokens. And your tokens will be more than you used to give. Your tokens will be more than you ever used to make. Your tokens, but something's different in there and you know it. He wants your whole heart. He could care less about your money. He wants your heart. See, and I always like it when I say that, because, oh, good, I can keep some of my money. And every time I say that, I go, oop, I ain't got it yet, have I, God? I'm not getting it yet. You don't have a lot, now's the time to let God start teaching you where you're spending it foolishly, teaching you where you're wasting it, teaching you what to do with it, teaching you to get out of debt, teaching you to pay those high interest credit cards off, teaching you don't buy it if I don't have the cash to pay for it, teaching you some things. Oh, let's rub the genie, let's rub the lamp, let's rub the bag. Hey, I'm touching that bag every time I see it. If I walk in and it's laying on the rail, I'm touching it, man, because I'm reaching out to my God and you're the supplier of my needs. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, hold it. The whole deal isn't getting you the blessing. That's no problem for God. The big deal is teaching Hank how to handle the blessing. Huh? And the more I can handle, the more he'll trust me with. And I know some of you are planning on helping with the Roundup Day, since I said that, the charges, the cost of Roundup Day. I know you're planning on that, but I'm believing God that he could just give me, so I can just handle the whole thing by myself. Well, that's crazy, Hank. I know, but I'm just going to start thinking crazy stuff. I'm just going to start thinking ridiculous stuff. God's got me believing for some stuff that I don't even want. That I never wanted. And he says, why don't you just believe me for that anyway? So I just started believing him for it. Huh? I was riding around down in Branson one day and I saw something, and he said, you could have one of them. And I said, but I never wanted one of them. He said, yeah, but why don't you just believe me for one anyway? So I said, okay. So I came home, started looking on the internet and finding pictures of them and dreaming about them and looking at them. And let's just get crazy with God. You want to? Yeah, I got it. I just hadn't seen it yet. Doesn't matter. I don't have to see it. I don't care. It'll come to me, and I'll probably forget I was even believing for it. And I'll go be weeks down the line. Oh, well, that's what. Yeah, I was believing for that, God. Hallelujah. And then I'll probably just give it away. Ooh, maybe you've been believing for it, and I'll have it, and then I don't need it, and so maybe you'll be the one. But you won't know it if you're not using your faith. I won't know you're the one if you're not using your faith. Whew, I don't know where we're going with that, Lord. Let me go to another one here. Mark 10. What's that mean? Man, what's that mean? I don't know what all that means. But Mark 10:29-30, he says, Jesus answered and said. Who said this? Who answered and said?
Jesus.
Who answered and said?
Jesus.
Did he really say this, or now is this something we're just making up? Is this something one of the apostles had to, I guess Mark had gas and just decided to write something down one day? That's the way we treat the Word of God. Well, yeah, I know it works. It just doesn't work for me. Well, it's because you don't believe it. Oh, man. Surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life.
Amen.
What's that mean? I've quoted that and preached hundreds of sermons on that, and I just had to ask God, what's that mean? I don't know. It sounds cute when I say it. Sounds spiritual when I quote it.
I mean, he'll give back to you 100.
Hey, I started looking at that and I said, man, God, that's how you want to give to us. You want to multiply that. You want to give that back to us. You want to give it to us 100-fold. You want to show us how good you are. You want us to experience the riches of your grace by being kind to us in Christ Jesus. You want to do that, God. Everybody say, God, you want to bless me. Everybody didn't say that. See, that's the problem. We're giving it mental assent, and we're not believing it in our heart. God, you want to bless us. You want to bless me. Praise God. Praise God. He says, I want to give to you that way. You know the story here. The story's interesting. The story here is the guys just come to him. I mentioned it a while ago. The rich young rulers just come to him and said, what must I do? You see, the rich young ruler came to him on the grounds of the old covenant. He came to him on the grounds of law. What must I do? And Jesus said, well, okay, if you want to know what you got to do, then sell everything and give it to the poor, and then come follow me. See, we don't understand you. He came to him from that approach. What must I do? Because the law said, what must I do? I must do this to earn it. But Jesus is saying, you just come follow me. I'll take care of this. Jesus wasn't telling him, sell everything so you don't have anything. He was saying, you're approaching me from work side. Come follow me and I'll show you the grace side. How do I know that's the truth? Because when he said it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven, or go through it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. And we got to talk about that sometime, not today. But and the apostles, it says, they were amazed. What? Then who can go? The poor apostles, they just went around without nothing. They just went around without. Hold it. When he said this, it startled them. They've been walking with Jesus. Oh, they might not have been millionaires in their day, and they might not have been billionaires in their day, but that's not it, folks. They've been walking around with Jesus and watching abundance. Everything Jesus did was abundance. I mean, he'd touch a fish and a loaf and it'd feed 30, 40,000 people. I mean, abundance. He'd touch a blind eye and they'd start seeing. They've been walking around with him, man, for 3 years, 3.5 years, and they've been watching all this abundance. They've been watching God move. They've been watching all this stuff. And they go, what? Now you're telling us we got to be poor? Jesus said, no, that's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, you can't put me first place in your life, in any area of your life, without me blessing you back 100 times. And can I just add to it? That was as much as their faith could be, but I believe he's saying 100 times 100. Because there's no end, there's no limit to God. He says you can't do anything. You can't put me first place in any part of your life. Well, I don't know. What areas do you have need in? You say, well, I have need in the area of my, how many ever just said, I just don't have enough time to get everything done? Just don't have enough time to get everything done. Did you ever think about giving him the first part of your time? Huh? Won't you just... Everything you got to do in the morning, if you have to get up 10 minutes early. But why don't you just give him some time before you try to do everything else? Why don't you tithe your time? Why don't you put him first place? Well, but you don't know, I got kids and I got this and I got to go to work and I got to get them to the ball games. I got to get them to here. I got to get them. I know that's what the enemy's doing to you. And Jesus said, I need to be first place in your life. You quit letting the schools and you quit letting all those sports people and you quit letting all those people dictate your life. You're supposed to be dictating to them. You're speaking to life. Life's not speaking to you. I'm not saying all those things are important, but I'm telling you what, you get up in your day, the hustle and bustle of your day, without getting with your Jesus to start with, and you're going to have a messed up day. You're going to get to the end, you go, oh God, I just don't know what to do. Just everything, the walls are caving in. Oh man, I just feel like I'm crumbling. I know. That's the way the devil planned it. Well, I just don't have enough money. Well, why don't you put him first place in your finances? You can't do it without me giving you 100-fold. By the way, on that time thing, God gave us 24. He made a day 24 hours. And he must have figured out, he must have known that everything he needed for us to do, we could get it done in 24 hours, or else he would have made a 30-hour day. And so if you can't get everything done in the day that you're in, that 24 hours that you're supposed to get it, then you just need to find out, what am I doing that I'm not supposed to be doing? What is God telling me to do, and what am I doing that's just me? Well, he's in my finances. Well, we've talked about that enough. You know how to straighten that out. So, well, I'm not a tither. We'll start. Start. Nobody's keeping track. I don't ever go look. I don't know if you are or aren't. Not my business. It's your business and God. I can, as the pastor, I have the right to, but I don't. Because if I did, I couldn't preach messages like this. Huh? Because if I thought you didn't, if I knew you didn't, I'd be preaching the message and I'd be going, blah, blah, blah. That's what we do. Then we wonder why folks won't come back to church. Well, because you beat them up. You made them so bloody by the time they got out. It took them a week to survive, and just when they got back healthy again, they weren't going to come get bloodied up again. Whew. Well, my family just falling apart. Well, won't you put God first in your family? Huh? Won't you just have some times when you all sit down together and you pray together? What? I never thought of that. Do you ever have any times where you just sit down and just make the kids stay down? I don't care if they're teenagers or what. Just make them sit down and just read the Bible. Just read them some word. And don't read them some word like, now this is what it says, and if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. No, man, don't do it like that. But read it. Tell him about this loving God that wrote this letter. Tell him about this God that loves you so much. And he loves them so much that he wants to help them in their lives. He wants to straighten things out in their life. He wants things to go smooth in their lives. And if they'll just put him first place, that'll begin to happen in their lives. Amen. Folks, it isn't that hard. The truth is, you just need to do what you know to do. And then when you get in the habit of doing what you know to do, the Holy Spirit will show you the next things to do. Well, I really don't know what I do with this now. But we'll hit it some more next week. How about that? Do you understand? What's that mean, God? What Jesus is saying, saying you can't put me first place in any area of your life without me more than making it up to you. What's Jesus? What's Mark? What's Matthew 6 say? It says just put me first in my righteousness. Seek me first in my righteousness. Just come after me. Can I tell you something I learned this morning about daylight? I always, and then I'll just quit, okay? And I'll do this real quick because I promised I wouldn't keep you after today like I did last week. But that's okay. That's okay because there's going to come a time when most of you are going to be going, oh, come on, Hank, just keep talking to us because we don't care what time it is because we want the goodness of God. But that's not today. That's not today because, you see, that's something we grow into. First, I got to want to talk to you that long. And second, all, you got to want to hear me that long. And how many know we're just not there yet? Okay? But that's okay. That's okay. You're not where you're going to be next week. You're not where you're going to be next month or next year. Thank God, you're just going to keep going higher and higher. So just enjoy right where you are and let Him take you the next step. But I always read this. It says He'll give to us 100-fold all these things. That's every area of your life if you study that out. But He says, with persecutions and in the age to come. Eternal. I've preached 100 funerals on that with persecution probably, at least. And this morning I just said, Holy Spirit, I don't understand that. What's that mean? I got to studying that out a little bit. Did you know that One definition, one translation for that word, and I found out that word is used. That's the same root word. That says when He says in John, "Greater things than these will you do. The works that I do, you'll do." That word "works" is the same root word as this. When He gets over into John 15, the same root word that says "fruit" is the same root word that He talks about works in John 14, and it's the same word for this persecution, the root word. And I got to looking at and studying it a little bit. And I'm going to study some more. And if I find out I'm wrong, I'll be sure and tell you, okay? Huh? I just decided to quit worrying about making a mistake because you're going to make a lot of them. And so let's just move on. Let's just go for it. I'd rather make a mistake trying to get right than to not be trying to get right, you know? But listen to this. That word persecution means to run after, to follow after, to pursue, to seek after eagerly, earnestly, to go after with everything in you. And I got to thinking, that makes sense. What's God saying? What's Jesus saying here? He's saying, I'm gonna give it back to you 100-fold. Now this is just one thing. This is just one translation for it. But He says, I'm going to give it all back to you 100-fold if you seek after me, if you come after me, if you acquire of me, if you seek me, if you earnestly come after me, if you earnestly put me first, I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to give you that 100-fold. And I thought, wow, that's starting to make a little sense. And is it okay if I just threw that out in the crude way? I haven't had time to meditate on it for a few days yet. But that makes sense to me. Jesus says, Hank, sell out. All in. I used to like to watch Texas Hold'em on TV. I just liked the part whenever the guys that have all these chips, they'd go all in. And I'd just say, Jesus, now don't go play in Texas. Don't go play in poker, okay? But everybody, we all just all said, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all in. Yeah, I want y'all, come on, let's go ahead and sing a song, we'll wrap it up. But he says, if you'll run after me, if you'll follow after me, if you'll pursue me, if you'll seek after me with an eager, earnest, just everything you got. What's that mean? Well, Lord, we don't know what it means, but we're learning what it means. We're learning what it means. Oh, my goodness. God's just got, he's already started. He's doing some things in some folks. He's doing some things in our church, doing some things in your life. I just can't hardly wait for you to start seeing some of them. Well, seek first the kingdom of God. Did anybody get anything today? If I just stop here, did you get anything? Seek first the kingdom. Seek me first, and I'll take care of everything else. Everybody say something with me. Holy Spirit, teach me what that means. Okay, say it again, because I want you to get in the habit of saying it, because I don't want you to just say it here. I want you to say it a whole bunch of times every day, every time you think about it. Holy Spirit, teach me what that means. Holy Spirit, teach us. Oh, we want all we can get of God. We want all the knowledge we can get. We want everything that you'll give us. And so, Father, I just ask right now, I thank you that you're not trying to hold anything back. You're trying to get it to us. God, I thank you that you're the loving Father, and we're just going to start proclaiming what you say. We're just going to start seeing this from your side. We're just going to start believing you for the big things in our life. God, we're just going to start trusting you. Teach us, Holy Spirit, what we're supposed to be. Teach us what we're supposed to do. Teach us the Father's love. Father, I thank you for this people here. I thank you, Lord, for moving in their life. And Father, I stand in the gap as the pastor of this church. And I ask you to move mightily. I ask you, Father, for the supernatural. I ask you for the signs following. And if those signs will be in the lives of everyone who's here today. Those signs, I believe that supernatural to operate in every one of their lives. Take that broken heart today. Take that broken heart today and heal it. Heal it. If you quit thinking so much about the past, the devil won't have such a stronghold on you about your past. Why don't you think about the future? Instead of thinking about how bad you are, why don't you think about how good God made you? Instead of thinking about how short you fall, why don't you start thinking about how much He's given you and that how that He's made you righteous? How that it's not because of anything you do, it's because of everything He did. And won't you just step over in faith now and receive that grace in your life? Because you've been under far too much condemnation. You know how much too much condemnation is? Any. Well, I just feel guilty, but we'll repent and go on. Just repent and go on. Father, I'm sorry I said that this way, that way. I'm sorry if I hurt anybody. I'm sorry if I did that and it offended him. I'm sorry, Lord, if I did this and it wasn't right. I apologize. I repent. I confess it. Now I'm moving on. I'm moving on. Well, everybody go ahead and stand. I prayed for a fever this morning to leave, and so now I just speak to fevers. Anybody in here that's got a fever, I speak to that, and in the name of Jesus, you bow your knee and you leave. You leave. Right now, Jesus, in your name, I bind the enemy. I tie his hands. I tie his feet. I bind him in your name, Jesus. And I tell you, enemy, you get out of the lives of my people. You get out of their affairs. Because I tie your hands, I tie your feet, I bind you, you can't operate anymore. I speak confusion into you. I speak doubt into you. I speak fear into you. Because we're not afraid of you anymore. You're afraid of us. And Father, in that mighty name of my Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I loose you, angels. I loose you to minister to the saints. I loose you to minister to those that are in here right now. I loose you to minister to them, to operate in their life. And Father, I believe you to do that for everyone that's here, even if we don't know what that means. You do it anyway. You do it anyway. You do it anyway, and we thank you for it. And we thank you for it. If you're in here today and you need to be saved, you don't know Jesus, if you come down, I'll pray with you in a minute, and we'll pray. If you don't know for sure right now that you're right with God, you just come down, and we'll pray. If you're here and you need to be baptized, and you've never been baptized, or maybe God's just been dealing with you about it, you come on down, we'll baptize you. If you're here, you need somebody to agree with you about something, you come down. One of us will agree with you and pray. It's time for the devil to get out of your affairs. You've had enough. Have you had enough? Have you had enough? Everybody say, I've had enough. Devil, I've had enough. You're not going to get away with that anymore. If you got anything you need for us to pray with you about, you come. And now I dismiss you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say you walk in His favor this week. You walk in His blessings. And He's going to do things in your life that you never dreamed possible. Things that are beyond anything you've ever imagined, dreamed, or asked. And if you receive that, say praise the Lord. Now if you need to be prayed with while we're dismissed, you come on down. If you need anything, come on down. Love y'all. And I'll see you next time.